The Australian Poetry Slam is a live performance competition you might have heard of where the audience is the judge. It involves a round of heats across the country with the best slammers competing to win the Australian Poetry Slam National Final, which takes place at the Sydney Opera House. In 2017, Jesse Oliver, originally from Perth, became the national adult champion, and part of the prize for Jesse was a tour of the 2018 regional heats as that reigning champion. Documentary maker Greg Appel went along for the ride.
My name's Jesse Oliver. I'm the 2017 Australian Poetry Slam champion adult, and I'm a trans man.
Jesse Oliver,
when you step onto that stage, if you're doing it right, I think it feels like you're stepping out of your body.
This poem is for the romantics who are frantically trying to find whatever it is that they're looking for, and I'll use about 2 minutes to tell you why.
I guess that thing to say is very much a part of your vulnerable true self, then it's a very spiritual experience.
So don't be the guy who is picking women like a Macca's menu.
It's incredible. You can really feel the energy from everyone who's listening to you.
A girl with a sesame seed, freckled face, olive eyes, and two nice bums.
Well, not every poem, but you do quite a thing in love poems, and I'm just wondering, as having been a woman, if you've got a magic touch there.
I don't know. I think it's just who I am as a person. I don't think it's a result of that. I just think it's a combination of everything that I've been through. Probably, like, you know, addiction, homelessness, the transition, everything. It's probably like 8 years ago I was on the streets. About 6 years ago, probably to the month, I started my transition, and 4 years ago that I started poetry. Testing.
Give it a go.
All right. So I'm here starting my adventure of a lifetime at Byron Bay. It's just incredible to think that I'm standing here after 4 years just slumming it in poetry from Perth, and now I'm on the other side of the country. Who knows where it's going to take me. So if you win the Australian Poetry Slam, the prize just gets bigger and better and more amazing every year.
Good. Okay.
I was blessed in being able to go on this tour, and I've met so many people, so many friends, heard so many stories, and I've met you, Greg, and I've still had heaps of cool opportunities. Oh, mate.
Yay.
That was awesome.
What's the film for?
I'm a slam poet, so I do poetry. Kind of like a rap, but I perform on a stage. There's a competition in Sydney. Last year I won the competition.
Yeah, deadly.
So I'm touring around.
Deadly.
Yeah.
Can I make spit one too?
Yeah,
I'm at myself.
Yeah.
Get this.
I'll be fading away when the sun rises, but I'm happy to see that I've done right. Yeah, I'm glad to just breathe in this sunlight, and now it's time to believe in this one life. Let it go, let it free in the sunshine, or wash away like a wave at the beach in this moonlight.
My name is Chinali Doncaster, and I'm a proud custodian of the Widjabul Yagal Bundjalung tribe. And
we're going to see him at the Coffs Harbour Slam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one. And welcome here. Welcome to country. Say Yalingyama, Yumanjeringyama Mawa. And the spirits be with you wherever you guys walk.
To all intents and purposes, you're a guy travelling around. That's what I felt like. No one knows. Do you think about that, like, as you go into a petrol station and g'day mate, that sort of, they're treating you like a male? Do you think about that?
Yeah. It's funny because, well, it's not funny. It's a privilege to identify as a gender that sits within the binary. That's one thing I acknowledge and a lot, and I am aware of. I was lucky that, you know, even though I am trans, my gender still falls within the binary. So I do have the privilege of living my life and walking into a servo and not being carded as trans. But then there's the other side of it as well, is like, you know, I've been thinking a lot about my sense of community, like in the queer community, and, you know, do I look queer enough to be queer? Or, you know, there's other times when I start talking about feminist issues and I'm not out as trans, and I get a lot of weird looks, and it's an interesting thing, but it is what it is.
I'm driving away
another thing that happened on the road, and I was sitting beside you, you lost your girlfriend.
I got some bad news from home.
Do you mind talking about that, or?
We can talk about that now.
All right. Well, yeah. What?
Just not so much back then. We were in Byron Bay. We were just about to leave Byron Bay, and I was telling everyone about how amazing my girlfriend is, and how I missed her, and how I was excited to go back, back to Perth after the tour. But she sent me a text message and broke up with me that night, and didn't answer my phone calls for the following week. And obviously, the next day, that was when we needed to start filming. And I remember trying to do my absolute best to be like, yay, this tour is amazing and I'm having so much fun, like during a couple of days. And then at night times, I'll be honest, I did like, you know, shut the door and say like, good night, Greg. And then I'd cry myself to sleep. Wake up bright and early the next morning with a huge smile on my face.
I just didn't know how much stuff was out here. It's just all farms, and even driving through the mountains.
I don't know what your romantic situation is now, but do we need to get into that? I'm just wondering if the rest of the tour you were free to meet people.
I got straight onto Tinder, Greg, because I never got to try it when it was like when it was the thing. So I'm still experimenting with that whole swiping people and judging them based on their first impressions thing. But I'll update you as I move through that journey. I tried another one, which was called Hinge, and it doesn't give you the option of identifying as trans. So you have to sort of pick male. So in that scenario, if I got dates off of that app, I would hate it. Every time I went out for a date, I'd have to do the, by the way. Well, maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. But it's a lot easier for me on Tinder and other dating apps where I can just put it in my profile, and then I know everyone who talks to me or talks back to me is A-okay with that sort of whole sitch. And yeah, so that's what I do, and hasn't really stopped me so far. So,
why do we destroy the earth?
Poetry. I mean, certainly when I was at school, you didn't think of it as a dynamic thing, but it's actually changed your life.
Yeah, it helped. It helps me process a lot of things, like my gender dysphoria, like being on the streets, like my issues that I had, my mental health issues that I had. I mean, I always wrote. I did just say that I started poetry 4 years ago, but what I meant by that was like sharing and performing my poetry, because I'd always written. And even when we were on the streets, like me and a couple of friends, we used to just like put a hat down and busk for change. And I guess we were rapping.
Because we've taken everything we have.
Can you remember your earliest work then? Like what you'd write, the sort of thing you'd rap?
Yeah, it was just very angry. Like I've still got a couple of notebooks. It's so strange. It's like another person wrote it nowadays when I go back and read it.
Damn shame, but to blame a made-up enemy.
The reason that I was on the streets is because I didn't feel like I belonged in society. I didn't feel like I had a place. So I sort of thought of myself as scum. So I thought that the street was the place for me. And after my parents sort of, like, kicked me out, I didn't really have anywhere else to stay. It was rough. So after I started my transition, like I started to see a future for myself, and it was the first time that I was able to keep a job without screwing it up. And it was like, it wasn't the first couple of years of my transition when it was kind of iffy if I was passing. It was probably like a year or 2 years into my transition when I was passing as male, where I didn't have to out myself in the workplace so I could apply for a job as male and not have to worry about that sort of thing. Hmm. And yeah, so there were, you know, there is a culture of like, I guess, toxic masculinity where you have to fit into the boys' club. And I did notice a difference between years when I was younger and I was working as female to when I was, you know, after I transitioned and I was passing as male. They'd say, you know, homophobic things, transphobic things, and you sort of, you got to keep a poker face, otherwise you out yourself and then it becomes dangerous. The other thing is with gender in the workplace is that there are, unfortunately, a few privileges to fitting into the boys' club, especially if you have like a male boss.
There must be awkward moments in your mind that I'm just thinking office Christmas party, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a balance. You do have to bite your tongue. And like, this is another reason why I was so determined to jump into poetry and leave retail, is because I don't think I could have survived long term in an environment like that where I just couldn't be authentically myself every day. I've been training myself to be undercover, to be shy and to be quiet and not out myself and be careful about what I say, what I do, how I behave, how I hold myself in the public space. And going to the complete extreme of standing up on stage and performing poetry, which is one of the most vulnerable and honest, revealing things that you can do. It was such a switch. And but it was actually so liberating. Like, for the first time, I got to be free and who I was for a couple of minutes on stage.
We've got a 9.5. Yeah!
When I did finally win the WA heats, it was absolutely crazy. And getting to go over to Sydney to the Opera House, I was already feeling like I had won.
No one knew that you were transgender, I didn't think, in the final. Yeah, you were just a guy winning. Is that right? Like, that's how I remember it.
Yeah, because I didn't actually out myself. I never wanted to out myself because I wanted something that was my own. I wanted to win on my own merit and the merit of my poetry. I got to go to Bali Ubud Readers Writers Festival, the Singapore Writers Festival, the Hong Kong International Literary Festival. Normal life now is completely different to normal life before. In fact, I'm probably not even 100% sure what normal life is yet. The two main options that I have at the moment is to like continue building a successful career as a performance poet. But I've also really developed this passion for cultivating community through seeing the diversity of the New South Wales scene and all over Australia and even internationally. But I guess the magic of the adventure was that it sort of showed me that anything can be possible. So I think I've decided to try and pursue both for 2019.
Who's ready to slam? Who wants to see some slam poetry? Yeah. All right, so yeah, we are here today to do a poetry slam.
People sometimes ask me, what's it like to be trans? What's it like to not be able to stand as you are, as you were, him or her? Which is it? What day did you realise? What way did you disguise? Can you even tell me why? Why? Well, why don't you like your tits? And what sort of bits have you got? And I'm left standing there like, what? These questions that they asked from my past me long ago, they don't need to know now. I mean, how could it possibly change who I am? Get to know me like a friend does, and I'll tell you everything that you want to know. I'll tell you everything that you want to know when I know that you won't go. Because nothing beats the soft touch of trust and knowing that you care so much to actually discover me and my gender details subsequently. It is a large part of who I am, but I'm more than a man. I'm more than my body. This is just something that I own, so don't ask about testosterone. Don't ask me how I made this my home. Ask if I like coffee. And if you do too, we can get some and then we'll see where the story ends, because if we're going to be honest, we only ever open up to our friends.
The fabulous words of slam poet Jesse Oliver speaking with producer and documentary maker Gregor Pell. Gregor's made a video about the road trip he did with Jesse, and you can find a link to that on the Life Matters homepage. And if Jesse's story has made you think about your own situation, there's organisations who are always available to talk to. You can call Lifeline on 13 11 14, that's 13 11 14, or Beyond Blue on 1300 22 0427 324636. On RN and Radio Australia, this is Life Matters. I'm Michael McKenzie.